With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dolls.
Hi. Dolls, we are once again coming to you from opposite areas of the country.
I'm just a few states over in Texas, dolls. I'm in Austin right now.
Tejas.
I mean, as you can see, I'm in a really lovely setting. No, this is not a Zoom background. This is...
No, Carrie's in like a mansion with recessed lighting. He's like podcasting from the library of the mansion. It's really like...
It's parlor
professional.
Vibes.
It's rich.
We're house-sitting for dear friends, and they have really cute dogs who are sitting. You can't see them, but they're right there. And then they have these two...
What kind of dogs?
One of those shaggy dogs with hair over their eyes, and then a little, like, shih tzu, who's, like, the cutest. They're both... Her name's Vivian. And then they have these two cats who are both boys, and they're very powerful.
God, they're really living the dream.
And they're like
four pets.
They're like really cute cats, you know, like those like cherubic looking ones. And one of them is sassy.
They're like Persians?
Kind of, I think. And then one of them is like apparently like notorious and like does not like people. But when I walked in yesterday, when they showed us the house just to give us like the lowdown, he immediately turned on his back and revealed his underside to me. And
that's a huge sign of trust.
Yeah, I felt like he was telling me, I see you, bitch. I see you, gay.
I could honestly see you having cats. And I mean that as a compliment.
No, I mean, I'm not a cat person, but with these cats, I'm like, I love cats.
Yeah, like I could see you having like a really strong bond with a cat who gets you and you get it. I could see you being like a cat whisperer of sorts even.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of good for me because they're really boundaried and I'm codependent. So they might teach me a thing or two about...
They're not always going to be around when you want them to be around. But then when they make their presence known and they choose to be with you, it's the best feeling ever.
And then this other cat, he's more friendly. He came right up to me when I was watching Jersey Shore and got on my stomach and went for literally 10 minutes, stepped on me like he was stomping grapes.
Yeah, he made muffins.
For literally 10 minutes, and he just...
That's the best.
With, like, complete focused eye contact, and it was like, I feel intimate. This is intimate.
That's what you need. You need an animal to choose you and really, like, paw you lovingly and then jump away.
I do have a kitty
at
home.
Know that it'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you, doll?
You.
Your hair looks even better over Zoom. Like, in person,
thanks.
Obviously, but over Zoom, it's like, she did it.
It's really incredible to be at this point in my life where I cut my hair off and never looked back. And honestly, I slept, like, I showered yesterday, let it air dry, slept on it, and this is what it looks like today. It's, like, truly...
It's settling.
The low-maintenance hair of my dreams.
I think it's settling even more than when I saw you.
Yeah, because I got low lights, so that was the big, that's helped, because I feel like...
Oh, I see them.
Blonde with a bob is like a little bit, it's like wasn't working for me, and I needed like a color update, so I'm trying to be a little more natural.
I love.
Yeah, but I'm so into it.
It's subtle.
It's true freedom. Mm-hmm.
How did everyone, when you were out this weekend, were people like... Ugh.
People are loving it. The reactions have been super positive.
Good.
Even my mom, who was like such a naysayer, she loves it. So that's a huge...
A win.
Win.
For the community.
For the whole community. Mm. Yeah. And I'm just like living. It's nice to not have like 10 inches more of hair to have to worry about.
That's crazy.
With. Yeah. It just was such, I was truly just like oppressed by the length. That's why I was pulling it back so often in a sleek bun, because I was like, I don't want to wash this mop. I don't want to like spend 45 minutes trying to blow dry it. Just like, I have limited time and energy, and dealing with that is just not part of my massive to-do list.
You were sort of like in the closet as a bob.
Yeah.
You were like kind of...
Took a long time to feel it out, to do the emotional work to get to a place of bobbing.
There's a lot of emotional labor.
It may look... Oh my God. It may look just like effortless, flawless. Like I just went into the salon one day and was like, just cut it off out of nowhere. But it was actually like a year, maybe like a year and a half of like a deep soul questioning. Am I ready for this?
Mm.
Writing about it. Figuring out like how I felt about it. Oh, yeah.
You journaled?
I like journaled.
I mean, I get that.
Like, because every other time, I said this before, but it's like I've made the impulsive decision and then really regretted it. And it like made me depressed, along with many other life decisions that would make me depressed. But that was definitely like part of it. So I didn't want to repeat that, because I know that that's like a pattern that I have. So I was like, okay, I need to get to a point where I'm like ready. And this is a decision that I want to make out of confidence and not have any fear involved. Like I have to like release all fear of like, what if I hate it? What if I miss my hair? What if I get sad when I look at people with long hair? Like it had to really be like, I want this, and this is like the confident next step, and I'm just fucking owning it, and this is my vibe.
Good for you.
So that's that.
I should start journaling about my hair. I feel very...
I journal about tons of other stuff, but I like that was a focus.
I mean, I'm in a journey right now, because one of the worst things...
Yeah, what's your journey?
One of the worst things to happen to someone who's as visually impaired as myself is when you realize you're out of the one contact, because if you have two different prescriptions.
Oh my God. Contact drama rages on. So that's why you're in glasses.
Yeah, and I always feel very undone when I'm wearing glasses. Like I feel hungover whenever I wear glasses, and like I don't feel myself. And everyone's like, you look so cute in glasses, but I'm like, no.
You're not a glasses gay.
No.
And that's a good thing, I think.
I mean, some people look fucking hot in glasses. I just don't. I look Magoo-ish in glasses, and I look positively frumpy, and it's not, I don't feel myself, I don't feel settled, I feel really like kind of like when I'm wearing glasses, you know, I feel really like I can't go outside.
Yeah, it's like cozy. Yeah, you look like cozy. I was like, oh, he's having a down day.
No, if I could, I'd be riding high in Austin with my contacts on, and like we might go to a gay bar later, and I'm like, I don't really want to be seen kind of like Harriet, like wearing a disguise.
The good news is I think the readers like live for Ikado and glasses moment, so you're really the only one that feels that about you in glasses. You know what I mean? Like the rest of the world either thinks you look great or they don't give a shit at all.
Yeah, and I love both those options. I'm just, it's really like, and I say this with I'm really, it's coming down to the wire with like, I need to really start thinking about LASIK.
God, yes, get LASIK, doll.
I know.
Get your little eyeballs lasered out your head.
It's really hard. Like I feel like I'm lucky. I don't have like a lot of things that like impede my daily existence, like physically, but I do have like horrific vision, and it's like a struggle, and I've had shitty vision since I was 10, and it's truly it's astonishing how blind I am when I take my glasses off. And I don't think people realize like what it's like.
They don't realize your struggle.
No, they don't know, but it's truly, do you know what it feels like for a girl in this world? But do you know what it feels like to have -7 and -6 eyes?
I don't.
Do you know?
I have great vision.
Fuck you. No, I'm you're blessed.
But like, has the whole, Is LASIK covered by insurance to some extent?
I don't think it is. I think it's still considered vanity, which is crazy.
Well, eyeball stuff isn't covered by regular health insurance. It's like its own insurance.
Which is weird.
Because I pay for my health and like dental, but I didn't...
Ophthalmology.
I didn't get eye because I haven't like... But maybe I should. I don't know.
I mean, everyone should go get checked once a year, but... I'm
you should definitely get LASIK. It feels actually, like LASIK should be like $35 now to get because it's such an old technology.
It's not as expensive as I think it's like $3,000, which I need, you know, I need to be like start saving up for that, but like I'm down. It's worth it. Like that's 10 years, 20 years of like good vision. And my thing I've said this before, but like I'm saying this with sincerity too, like if we are in a place of like societal collapse, at some point, I don't want to be, like, driving to Utah to find 1-800-CONTACTS to go, like, loot their headquarters.
No. You're literally going to be, like, that Twilight Zone episode of the guy who was the last person standing.
And he wants is to read books.
All the time. Yeah. You have to get LASIK now that you said that.
I would literally... I guess I would just become, like, an oracle if I didn't have... I would just be, like, I'm just going to go full oracle... And be like post-apocalyptic oracle. That. And just be like, I can't see, so I'm going to just tell people what I see.
Yeah. You'll read them like a cheap novel.
But I have to really...
You'll be blind as a bat. You could go live in a cave.
I can use echolocation.
You would have to go full cave. Yeah. You'd have to go full... You would go bat.
I'll be like The Descent.
You'd be like, eek! Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I need to shout out the wonderful, probably Mormon people who run... 1-800-CONTACTS in Utah. They're so amazing and friendly, and they're prompt as fuck.
Tones.
Tony. Stop.
Sorry.
Don't Tony. Be sorry.
No.
Tonya. What's he doing?
Tony. He's just barking. He's in a place of bark at everything today. From the second we've woken up, he's been set off.
He said,
everything
mother.
That happens outside in the courtyard, he has an opinion about it that he is not shy to share.
Maybe it's the Halloween spirit.
It's something.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long-haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. How is LA right now? Is it spooky weather or is it...
Today was the first day that it's been chilly outside. Like when I walked him and went to go get Starbucks, I was like, oh my God, I'm cold.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm freezing cold. I'm going to freeze to death if I'm exposed to these elements for too long.
I'm going
to
die of exposure.
And it just remained like kind of chill. Yeah. I was like, this is me dying of exposure. Like I am in a sweatshirt and sweatpants, but like I desperately need a coat. I was like, it's happening. It's here.
I'm just imagining you laying down against like a palm tree and just being like,
it's like, I can't make it one step further. No, it was like truly a wintry trek to Starbucks and back.
Yeah.
But that bodes well.
Mm-hmm. What are you being for Halloween this year?
I'm trying to like lean in. Ugh. I don't know. I mean, I always have a cheerleader costume that's like a go-to. But I don't feel like that this year. I don't really love like a dress up. I thought about a nun, but I looked at all the nun costumes online and they're really shitty.
Yeah. You should be Kill Bill.
Like, I don't want to be a sexy nun. What?
You should be Uma and Kill Bill.
Yeah, that feels like a financial commitment.
Yeah.
I know. I was trying to think of like, oh, what is the new hair costume?
You could be Rosemary before she cuts her hair off in Rosemary's Baby.
That's a big explanation to undergo.
Yeah,
for,
that's true. You never want anything
like
to be
a non-iconic look. I don't want to be something before the something in this mood. Like, it's like, no, you've lost me.
Why don't you be Naomi Watts?
In The Watcher?
Deciding what role to take next. Did you watch The Watcher?
No. I read the article. That was enough for me. I really don't need like more. I need like less Ryan Murphy in my life. And I already like don't watch Ryan Murphy. So that's like how much Ryan Murphy I need.
Can I just say, and this could be a controversial take, I'm watching the new, I've watched 2 episodes of the new American Horror Story in New York City. And it wasn't that, it's not that bad. It's actually kind of good. And there's
really?
Like, there's, yeah, it takes place, it's sort of like the movie Cruising. It takes place in like 1981 New York, and it's like on the kind of crest right before AIDS hits, and there's like a serial killer stalking gay men and killing them.
Mm.
It's actually kind of good. And I know it's like problematic, and like it's kind of like it's like a metaphor for like,
wait, what's problematic?
I guess there's like some problematic elements of it in terms of like retelling the AIDS story through the guise of like a serial killer killing men, but I think it's kind of good.
Interesting.
I like the movie Cruising.
Yeah, I would rather watch that. I've actually never seen that. That's been on my list for a long time. So it's just,
Lars,
there are a lot
it.
Of things that I would rather watch than any sort of Ryan Murphy thing. So whenever it comes down to like, am I really going to watch this shit? I really start to I know that it's a cry for help sign that I need to figure out something that I actually want to watch. Like Dahmer, Love and Light to like the millions and millions of people who
the billion people
rode hard, the literal billion people that like loved that. I'm also like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because I watched one episode and I was like, I never want to watch this ever again. I was like, this is disgusting. It's like so fucking dark. Like I just don't want that vibe in my life at all. But I also like follow, I like know about all the Dahmer stuff already from like, you know, everyone goes through that like Wikipedia serial killer phase. And then my mom was like really obsessed with Jeffrey Dahmer too.
Wow.
Weirdly. So she talked a lot about Dahmer to me. So I'm like, I get it. I don't need to like I don't need to watch reenactments of this like horrible
of these like poor
like mute yeah
teenage
I don't need it
gay boys
I don't need
being
it.
Killed yeah
yeah
I would it's the American Horror Story like I was entertained watching it, we'll just say that.
You're having fun
and it's
you're driving by the ads that are like the ads are serving cunt. I will say there's one outside of my apartment building that I look at quite a bit and I'm like
I saw that one. I just like anything set in that time, like in like the hot sweaty days of the Greenwich Village, you know, Christopher Street in the early 80s, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
there's something so like beautiful and haunting about that, obviously. And like,
who's in it? What stars?
I mean, there's this really hot guy who plays Zachary Quinto's boyfriend, who's like, I've never seen him before and he's truly stunning. Charlie Carver's in it, one of those twins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patti LuPone. She plays like a Bette Midler type singing in the bathhouses. And then there's, who's in it? Who else is in it? Billy Lord's in it. Russell Tovey's in it, who I think is really hot. This guy who's like a middle, he's like an older gay, but he's been in a lot of shit. He's great. I forgot his name.
Is Finn Wittrock in it?
I don't know yet. I'm sure more people will come in. Billy Lord plays like a doctor who's sort of like investigating I know she plays a doctor, but she's like investigating the sort of.
I truly.
She pulls
don't
off.
Understand.
She's giving.
Okay, you're really like you have a lot of lenience when it comes to like 22 or 23 year old girls playing doctors on TV and film, because I saw the bone to pick
with Pew
with Florence.
I mean,
Pugh
yeah,
being
that was
brain
crazy.
Surgeon. And Don't Worry, Darling. I'm sorry, but like, if you haven't seen it, that's on you now, doll. We need to talk about this thing that is happening over and over where people are casting
25-year-old
women, 25, white women. 26, 27 white women as doctors in movies. That's
not just doctors, neurosurgeons.
Yeah. In Don't Worry, Darling, I'm now going to spoil a lot of things for you, but I need you to come on this journey with me and get outraged about it because it's not okay. And we need to like bring awareness. Florence Pugh is actually not a 50s housewife. She's a brain surgeon that's just pounding the pavement, just trying to do brain surgery, barely scraping by on the salary of a brain surgeon, which, sorry, I know this very well because my dad was a brain surgeon for a long time. And so I was like, no one in their 20s is a brain surgeon yet. And if you are, you're a true child genius. And if you are a brain surgeon, you're like a backup surgeon. You're like just helping out the brain surgeon. Like, you're not the head brain surgeon of the emergency room at age like 26.
She's just slinging 36-hour shifts with Harry Styles, just her scrub-ass husband at home.
Cuts to her just on a brain surgery, just cutting someone's head
scalpel.
Open. She goes, all right, guys, close it up. She goes, close it up. You can take it from here, I hope.
She goes,
and then walks out. I was like, when? You're literally 19 years old.
She goes, oh, guys, it's been a long day. I got to get home now to my husband. And then she goes home and Harry Styles looks like Jay and Silent Bob. Like, he looks like just Jay with the hair. And he's just like...
He wishes he was as hot as Jay.
But it's like...
He's just like a... He looks like kind of caveman-y. It's so bizarre. But back...
She
but
comes
like
home.
Back to Ugh. Her being the head surgeon in the ER wing. Head chief
the neuro
brain.
Wing, yeah.
Chief neurosurgeon. She goes, "Woof, you guys take it from here. Got it? Cool.
Cool, got it."
I was like... She was like... She's complaining about money to Harry Styles. He's like, "We don't have enough money." And she goes, "I'll try and take another shift at the hospital." I was like, when you're a fucking brain surgeon,
you are
you
sought
don't
after.
Take shifts at the hospital. You're like in a practice with people. I don't think you're like hurting. I don't think if you're any sort of surgeon, you're hurting for money financially.
I think
you're, my just like thought.
What you're calling for is just more research.
I'm just calling for like, all you have to do
is talk to
is Google how long is medical school, like what is the age of doctors,
yeah,
and then cast someone in that give or take 5 year age range, like a 30 something. I just can't with like a young, like I know young women are getting cast in these roles all the time. This is nothing new, but I'm just like, you guys, like, no, that don't. For me, if I was a creator, that would take me out of it if I see like a 21-year-old operating or being like, call me Dr. Smith. Like, no.
People are just, people would rather, Hollywood would rather jump into like
does
a
no
pit
one have
of
a note on that? They're
than,
like, what
than cast a woman over the age of 35.
They're like, what I love about this doctor, she's so youthful. She must be incredibly smart to have gone through all of medical school, residency, completed her internships, and be a practicing physician at this time in her life. It's like, you're like, this is insane.
Yeah, it was so, where do they live in that? LA? New York?
It looked like New York. I don't know. There were a lot of logic questions. The longer and longer I think about that movie, the more and more I'm like, this was a bad movie. But in the moment, in the weekend,
it was a slay.
It was a solid B plus, downgraded to a B. And now I would say it's about a C plus. Just a hard C.
You know what gets an A plus every time, though?
Ugh.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara. And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Jersey Shore, bitch.
Whatever. Hate. I don't care what bitches say. I don't even look their way. Hate. I don't care what bitches say. I don't even look their way. Every time I walk in the club, they hating on me because they know I look good. My hair done right and my dress real tight. All eyes on me. I took the night. Every time I walk in the club, they hating on me because they know I look good. My hair done right and my dress real tight. All eyes on me.
Guys,
we're on the
we're
third
in
episode.
The calm before the storm. Third episode, season two. Things are percolating.
I realized I watched the first half of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, last week. So I, for a second, I was like, oh my God, I had like deja vu. And then I realized, like, I just watched it on my own because that's how much I love it.
I know. I'm deep into Family Reunion, like season two, episode like 14. There are like 20 episodes of season two, but like
how do they do that?
I don't know. And they're also like traveling all over the place. They're like 1 week they're in Vegas, the next they're like back in Jersey at a house, then they cover like the production budget must have been grand. But like
grand.
Ronnie, I don't know if things are ever going to change for sweet Ronnie Ortiz Magro or Magro Ortiz. I forget which order it is in. He's been same shit, different day for years.
It's tough. He's a really...
And he loves a dysfunctional relationship.
He craves it. He seeks it. He... Yeah, I don't... Wait, they live... They vacation in Jersey at one point?
Yeah, they start in Vegas season two. Then they go back to Jersey. They do Atlantic City, I think. And then they go back to Jersey, not in a shore house, but like Snooki rents like a mansion for them. So right now they're in a mansion on the Jersey Shore, but it's not on the beach, which has some people miffed. And Ronnie has just gotten healed from being dragged by his girlfriend while she was driving a car. She like dragged him along the road and they got in a fight and she literally dragged him. I wish I was joking. It's so horrifying. And all the roommates are like, what the fuck? But they are talking. What I love about it is they talk really openly. You know, like if a housewife got dragged, no one would ever say anything. Like they'd be like, they'd refer to it as like the incident. They would always like refer to it in hushed tones. They'd never
be frank
like,
about it.
She just got dragged. No, they're like, why is he doing this? This kid always wants to do the same thing because he's like fighting with his baby mama and he's about to like hook up with another girl, this girl, Jersey Barbie. And they're like, they just can't believe he situation goes, he just got dragged. He just got dragged through the car by his girlfriend. Now he's going to go do this. I don't get it. And they're very freely referencing the drag.
Can you imagine if your parents dragged each other in a car? Like, that's a talk about drag race.
Imagine growing up, finding out that your parents got in at least like 15 physical altercations with each other, were going in and out of getting arrested for domestic violence on each other. Your mom one time infamously dragged your father down the road. He had road rash like on his face and arm from getting dragged out of the side of the car. You'd be fucked up. That's what I'm saying. That's the darkest thing is,
yeah,
like,
so sad.
This kid is just like, it's so sad, yeah, to have like a child.
Fuck.
Even like energetically, kids pick up on that kind of stuff. So it's just like, fuck, this is so bad. Like, you need, yeah, to not be on TV. And you see the origins, like you see his rage popping out in these early seasons when he like pushes Snooki, or like it's just shit like that where he shoved
Sam in the first season really hard.
I know.
And her like, it's head, like it, my stomach, I remember when I watched that recently, I'm like, you just feel it in like the pit in your stomach when you see her head like whiplash. That's fucked up. And he shoved Snooki.
I know.
You don't shove her.
A guy or anyone that's at that point, it's like, unless there's some serious like behavioral intervention and like some sort of life change, which
helped.
I think for him would be like not drinking, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And if it's like that with like Snooki, who's a friend, who's literally never been anything but a friend to him, you can only imagine the kind of shit that happens in a relationship. And like the shit that he and his baby mama say to each other, like, is unreal, the text messages they send to each other.
But she's beating
him
pictures too, right?
Oh, yeah. They're, like, fully just, like, at each other. They're, like, trying to kill each other, essentially. She sends him text messages. She'll send him pictures of Sammy with her new boyfriend and be like, this is going to be me. This is how happy I'm going to be after I fucking dump your ass and find a new man to raise your daughter. Like, shit like that where you're, like, you don't come back from these kinds of, like, statements. Like, once you start putting out that kind of, I'm a firm believer in, like, you don't cross those types of lines with people because they're always going to remember like the horrible shit you said to them, even if you don't mean it. It's like
the horror.
You should never go there. Yeah, but I'm like, oof. It just is like, it's looking grim. I don't think it gets any better. I think he's like off the show because he's
volatile,
got arrested for like more domestic violence to like another girlfriend. I want to say,
I mean, it's grim in this episode, so we're still in the twilight hours of Angelina's slap heard around the house.
Angelina also has a fucking personality disorder.
She does. She has something.
She has a real serious person. She's like, I need everyone to pull out the DSM-5 and like, we're diagnosing Angelina today. You think that I have fucking ODD? I've never seen such an ODD queen. I realize that I'm just like fine.
I don't
like
actually
authority.
Think you have ODD. I think you have.
No, I know. I'm
you
joking.
You have like selective ODD. She can't help it. It's pathological.
I just have a resistance to authority and like
being told what to do.
I don't like feeling like reined in. Yeah, and being told what to do. She like
she can't
literally has.
Yeah, it's sad.
A crippling personality disorder that exists to this day, so from what I've seen. But weirdly, people are stanning her in the most recent season.
Or they're.
We got so much TikTok engagement with people being like, Angelina fucking rules. She's carrying this season. I was like, whoa, these are words I never thought.
Maybe, or she has like just bad, I think more than anything, she just has like terrible depression.
I think it's a mixture of horrific depression, which I relate to. Like I see some of myself in the way
she's
acting.
We're all saying this as mentally ill
people. I'm like, oh, you're, yeah, I'm like, oh, you're like horrifically depressed. But then you also have
obstinate defiant disorder.
Horrific personality disorder. So like, I'm like, may God help you, because that's the only thing.
I like Mike.
That and like maybe Wellbutrin.
I like Mike shrieking, go to bed! The way him and Polly shriek, it's like, it tickles me. Polly also, because he never gets angry, he's hot when he's angry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I want him to yell at me, but like as a joke. Like I want to be like with him and be like, babe, can we do something kind of crazy? Like I just want you to like yell at me.
You'd be like, oh no.
And then we plant. No, and I'm like, no, seriously, like just like get mad, like just yell at me, like admonish me. Oof. To be admonished by a Guido.
Angelina's she's fuguing. She's wearing
also,
she's so blackout. It's like 6 a.m. She's wearing sunglasses. She's holding her arms. She also has a Diet Coke. I'm like, honey, put the DC down. It's 6 a.m. That's like a literal...
She does this thing whenever...
That's like injecting... That's truly like shooting up with Coke at 6 a.m.
It's a speedball.
Drinking a Diet Coke is... You might as well just like freebase cocaine because you're never going to go to sleep now.
Yeah. I think it's like after a hard night of binge drinking, to chase that with a Diet Coke, you're playing with fucking fire. You're gambling with your life. She keeps going like, and she does this currently on Family Reunion where she's like, won't, people are like, stop talking to me. Just stop right now and walk away. Like, leave me alone. And then she'll go, Paul, what? Paul, no. Like, what the fuck? Shut the fuck up, Paul. Like, you leave me alone. Like, you leave. And it's like, oh my fucking God, you're like abusive. That's abusive behavior, to not listen to someone when they ask you to leave them alone and you continue.
Well, there's
we don't talk about that enough.
It's, you're right. We hear screams in the terrace, and then none other than JWoww is awoken from her slumber. And she comes, she goes, it's 4 a.m.
WWE.
Yeah, she goes, it's 4 a.m.
Smackdown.
I hear screaming outside, and you just see her, and she comes, and she goes, what's going on? And they say, Angelina just slapped Paul. And Angelina goes, yo, Jen. And then she goes, don't even touch me right now. Don't even come near me. If you weren't drunk right now, I'd be beating your ass.
She goes, they go, Mike goes, she smacked Polly in the face. And then JWoww goes, who would give you the right to smack Polly? She goes, that kid's my brother and he can't hit you, but I can. So you're lucky you're drunk, but wait for tomorrow. I was like, oh my God, I'm shaking in my boots.
Angela,
I would steal away at night.
I'd get a cab and take me to the airport.
Yeah, because it's coming.
Well, Angelina...
She's about to go full... She's about to, like, break a chair over Angelina's face.
Angelina has full, like, gaslight... Like, she completely denies slapping Paul. She goes, I didn't slap you, Paul. That married woman at the club did. And they're just like, what are you talking about? And Angelina's just refusing to accept reality. And then everyone leaves her, and she just is standing in the blue-lit patio with her sunglasses on, just fuguing, and... holding a Diet Coke. And I'm like, oh my God, your days are numbered.
It's so bad. I can't believe watching this, they had her back on the show. Like, I'm so traumatized from these early seasons. Like, I never want to see her again. I can't forgive her. Maybe other people can, but I just simply can't.
I can't either.
It's horrible.
I can't.
It's horrible.
Polly
goes, I never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what she's saying. I never seen anything like it.
He goes, yo, she's got a problem.
Yeah, even they can pick up on, like, the unchecked mentally ill.
First day of work for Jenny, Vin, and Ron. Jenny's not pleased. because she has to wear a black t-shirt that
I love the girls
suffocates her titties
not wanting to work. Yeah,
I love their boss Enzo.
Italian, just own a Guido who owns this gelato store, and he and Vinny are just like, immediately it's a love fest. Who's can I call you Vincenzo?
And he goes, yeah, instantly I'm taken like, back yeah. to Staten Island.
Vinny doesn't strike me. Okay, also something that Angelina always says is she's like, I'm from Staten Island. That's just like how we are. And I'm like remembering Mob Wives and I'm haunted because it is shades of Renee somewhat. And I'm like, is this just how people are in Staten Island? But then Vinny's pretty chill for a Staten Island person. So I'm like, I think you're giving Staten Island a really bad name.
Vinny's chill.
I'd love to believe Staten Island's better than that.
Vinny's very cruel, though.
He's judgmental.
He's mean. He's a mean guy.
Rude. He's mean.
He's a bully.
You have such a bone to pick with Vinny.
No, I watched the whole series last year, and I went from thinking he was such a cutie to being like, I would never want to be in a room with him because he just seems like a really mean person.
Mm.
Call me out if you want. I'd still suck him off, but. I think he just seems like a bully.
He seems like a mama's boy to me. Like, that's the read I get, is that he's, like, very sheltered and, like,
he's really mean to women.
He's, like, amazing his whole life. Yeah.
You're either a whore.
Because they don't treat him like.
Angelina wakes up. She's has her sunglasses on in another tube top. She's holding a solo cup, and she's just sitting in the corner of the couch, and she's playing complete denial. To Mike, she goes, yeah, what did I even do last night?
I think this is a lie.
Oh, 100%. She's...
I was so drunk last night. I don't even remember what I do. Yeah, I was like, you're pretending right now because you know that you fucked up.
Also, it's probably only like been 3 hours since it happened.
Yeah, you're still shit-faced. She pulls Polly aside to like...
Cry.
Apologize to him. And when she started out her apology, like crying, I was like... My cold heart kind of defrosted, and I was like, okay, she is just like a sad, lost girl.
Who wants friends.
Who has a really hard time making friends and feels lonely and like hurt people. And then she just immediately defaults into like, no, I was drunk. So I'm trying, that's why I'm trying to tell. And I was like, oh, hate her again. Don't give her a chance. Get her off the fucking show. I'm done.
She goes, since when did getting drunk and just being crazy like, don't I get like a get out of jail free card? And Polly's like, listen, from here on out, we cool. I accept your apology, but we're going to go our separate ways. And she goes, what do you mean separate ways, Paul? And I'm like, I literally wrote down, what did you expect, bitch. Hunty? That's what I wrote.
Like, get a fucking clue.
Get a clue,
take
Ange.
A hint.
Go home.
That's the hardest thing, too, is like, she just won't get a clue. She can't pick up on like the vibes. She has no vibe. She has no vibe sensitivity.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
mm-hmm.
She doesn't understand. Like, if I had an inkling that people did not want to hang out with me, the last thing I would do is like try and force them to hang out with me or be like, no, I'm coming.
Yeah. Once I know, I'm like,
I would leave.
Yeah. I mean, there were probably periods in my life younger scarce. Where I was like more insecure and like, felt like I had to like suffer to win their approval, but with age comes wisdom.
Ooh, doll, I'm out. I'm in another state. If I feel like you don't want to hang out,
I've changed my identity. I'm living under an alias.
Yeah, several times. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about the next.
I have like 59 passports.
I don't want to talk about Vinny and Ron because it was really fucked up.
What?
Them getting their haircut.
Oh, yeah. This was like a definite indication of like pre
conversations about
like, racial reckoning.
It was bad.
Where they go down and they're like, we need a haircut. And they keep being like, we have to go to the hood. We have to go to the hood. And it's like a whole segment that's like Vinny and Ron. The package is like they go to the hood, quote unquote, of Miami to get a fresh fade. And I was like, damn, that didn't age well whatsoever.
It was really racist. I was like, because I just couldn't handle it.
It wasn't good.
Ange is in a place of...
It didn't do anything for Italian-American and African-American race relations. I'll tell you that right now.
It was giving shades of Tony Soprano. being not, a bigot.
It's not good, mm-hmm. but it's part of history.
Damn, they really, they fucked. I was like, you guys are, this is haunting. Ange is in a place of afternoon bed. She's hungover with a full face of makeup, staring at the wall. So Mike...
Yeah, she should stay there.
Mike is like, Mike feels bad. He's like, yo, I'm starting to feel bad for Angelina. So he gathers everyone like a big brother into the haunting terrace. And he has a house meeting where he basically is like, we need to have the girls really take Angelina under her wing because me and Polly can't take her with us to go GTL and pick up girls. So like, you have to, basically he's like, you have to get her off our asses because she's cock blocking us.
I love being like, I feel so bad for her. And then being like, you guys have to hang out with her. Okay.
And it's like,
and it's very traditional gender roles. He goes, can't you go get your nails done or something? Like, go take her to go get your nails and your hair. Like, we have to go, like, GTL. She can't just sit there while we get a haircut.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, he's having, like, a nuanced, like, he contains multitudes. But he's really just like, she can't come GTL with us. She's got to go with you and get her nails done.
No, the boys want to have boys' time, and they want the girls to have girls' time. So they're like, you guys have to be friends with her so we don't have to hang out with her. And I love that that's, like, progressively and productively dealing with the problem, which is that everyone hates this bitch.
What are we going to do about Angelina? Snooki's getting ready and she goes, I'm going classic tonight. And she puts on a leopard dress and a big bumpet with stilettos. And on one of those little, like, a half wrap around her shoulders.
Like a pashmina.
Yeah, but it's like so tiny. A teeny tiny pashmina.
I love going classic Snook. She strolls out into the kitchen and Vinny goes, wow, you look really hot.
He goes,
she goes, I do?
He goes, yeah.
You actually look hot, which I was like, that's fucking rude.
He goes, yeah, you
don't say actually.
You kind of took my breath away. And she's like, you trying to smush?
I was like, this is...
I was like, Vinny...
This is when it's about to happen.
But also, like, fuck you for that.
Oh, this wasn't that part. That's later.
No.
First, the guy's just...
Yeah.
Really?
And then Snooki, Mike goes in and he's like, Angelina, you want to come out with us tonight? And she's like, are you actually inviting me out? I'm like, don't give a mouse a cookie. She will ask for a whole bakery.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I got mixed up.
So Mike is like... doing charity work, and he's like, you can come out with us tonight. And he's like, the girls have to be, they'll be on their best behavior. So Angelina, of course, gets like all dolled up. She whips her jeans on. She's ready to go.
Yeah.
They get to the club, and Snooki has a cig in hand, and she's just watching Angelina in the corner. And she's like, yo, I feel bad for this girl, because I was that girl last year. I was like, Snooki, for one day.
Yeah, but it really affected her. Like, it changed her entire life.
It kind of did.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes Angelina by the hand and she brings her to like a side corridor and she goes, listen, at the end of the day, we're family and you're not in it, but we will bring you in if you just apologize and own up for talking shit.
Just admit that you did it, that you talk shit about us. And then Angelina like sheepishly admits.
And Snooki starts bowing down to her. And then we cut to Jenny talking to them, and Jenny's just chiefing a cig and she's like looking away from Angelina.
I just love how much she hates her, and I hope that... I don't think she ever comes around on her.
No.
Like, even to this day, she still is, like, over her. You cross JWoww, and she never takes you back.
Listen, she was talking shit to... What was that guy's name? Her friends in Long Island?
Mike... J420.
J420?
That's literally, like, Home Alone, when he goes, hey, you out there talking shit? Little Mo with the janky leg? Beaks? Bony Bob.
You filthy animal.
Schmidt. Yeah, it was the same energy. No, JWoww's done with her.
But she's like, for now. She's like, for now, I'll accept her apology. So they like, Angelina's like finally accepted 10% by the girls. Meanwhile, Sammy's in a place of sunglasses at the club, at the bottle service couch. And Ronnie gets completely blackout once again. And starts yelling at Sam.
Vinny's like, every time Ron gets drunk now, he acts like a different person. Like, it's crazy the kind of person he becomes when he's drunk. I was like, that's called alcoholism.
That's
and then
alcoholism.
They're like, his laugh gets, he's doing that laugh. And like, he does, he has like a whole different persona that comes over him. Like, the second the booze hits, like, crosses the blood-brain barrier. And then he just goes up to Sam and he's like, what's your problem? Like, why are you being like this? And she's like, what? But she's like pouty. Like, her energy is also bad, but she does not deserve to get verbally abused. And that's just what he does. He goes, fuck you. You're a fucking bitch. And then she like leaves. And I was just like, God, I can't reiterate enough how shocking it is that they remained in a relationship for 8 more years after this moment.
Like, yeah, granted, she is being kind of a joy kill, but like, I would be too if I was in this place.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, but what she really wants, what's bad about the way she's acting is that she's going along with whatever he wants to do when that's not at all what she wants to do, and then holding resentment, but she's not being like honest about her own needs. She's not voicing her needs to him. She's just going along. So it causes resentment. Then it causes you to act like a little pout in the corner, and you like want the other person to like intuit and like attune to you and like read your mind kind of. But she knows if she told him what she needs, he wouldn't be able to meet them. So this is like this is the compromise where it's like you're just putting both of you through misery. So, but this is like,
yeah,
I guess how then they just continued on for 8 years, for the better part of a decade with this vibe.
Ronnie, Sam,
can you imagine your like partner calling you a fucking bitch?
No, it's traumatic. She leaves Sam, and then fucking Angelina goes home.
They all go, the girls go home, and the guys stay out, and they decide that they're gonna, yeah, plus Snooki, who's an incredible woman. And they're all like hanging. Ronnie's like creeping on girls, dancing really close. Snooki's like, look at him, like, it's not good what he's doing, it's not good. Like, Sammy's gonna find out eventually. Like, are you gonna tell her? And Paul's just like, I don't know, I'm like keeping out of it. And they're trying to find girls to come back to like hot tub with them. And they're like, we look around and it's just grenades in the club. But they yet ask the girls to come back. And I was like, these girls aren't grenades.
No. Also, Snooki at the club, Snooki's always, they always cut to her and she's randomly dancing with some like weird man. Like, the guy was like, looked like he was a magician. It's like she always finds like the weirdest guy or like the one gay guy in the club, and she's just like dancing with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they bring back this group of girls.
I love that about her.
Vinny says they're like the Bronx Zoo.
I was like, rude. Also, like, you guys are kind of grenades.
Yeah, they're grenades.
If we're really getting real about like who's the grenade, it's like you're just attracting like the vibe that you put out into the world. But this was like until they got like really famous or whatever. I mean, I've always been into Mike. That's neither here nor there. But like, they're also grenades. They're not like the world's hottest like supermodels or like NBA players or anything.
No, they have nice. Mike and Polly have crazy bodies. That's it.
Yeah, but I'm like,
they're kind of butterfaces.
A little bit, and I like that about them, but I'm just
stop
like
calling,
you're mad that every girl's like not Giselle Bündchen. Also, I think Vinny feels like a grenade, and that's why he's so rude about it.
Yeah, don't be rude. So they bring home these girls and they're like
all the grenades gather in the hot tub,
and Vinny, he's such a little bitch. Like, he's in the corner with his sunglasses on, really like tightly wound, not letting himself touch any of the girls, and I'm like, you're such an asshole. These girls are hotter than you.
You're still in the fucking hot tub with them.
You're being like a little fuck.
He's self-conscious. And then one of the I'm also like, these men couldn't handle, like, if a woman, like if Samantha Jones came up to them and was like, hey, let's fuck, they can't handle a woman. Like, when this woman's chicken cutlet like boob thing falls out, they literally turn into like giddy little schoolboys and they start tossing it around. And I'm like, none of you know what it's like to be with a woman.
No. It was so fucking rude.
Like to
also before
make
they
a
get,
woman's pussy wet, you've never.
Before they get into the hot tub, you just hear Mike, who's totally slurring, and he goes, these are my best friends. I know, so there's like five girls, and Mike says like he comes too, and he's like, I come too, and I realize we're in a pool full of grenades. I'm like, they're all more attractive than you guys.
You can call them grenades all you want, but like, you're the ones that sought them out, brought them home with you, and are like hoping to fuck them later. So like, are they really grenades?
Oh my god, I felt so bad for that woman.
I think she was
black. No, I know, but you could
think
but
she
you saw
understands what was going
no,
on.
No, she's they panned to her and she was sheepishly in the corner holding and she knew and it was like and they throw the little boob pad like onto the grill at one point and like they're just like they're all just like making fun of it. The girls all turn on her and they're like, ew. I was like, you know what? She's a real ass
over
bitch.
The most tame thing. Yeah. It's not like her tampon came out of her puss. It's like literally something that every girl has. I don't even know if it was a cutlet. It might have been just like a nipple cover or something. No, it was like
it
a
was
cutlet.
Like a little pad. But like
who cares?
She's doing this for you, fuckers.
I love being...
Like you're making her like she's doing this because she feels like she has to. Or she's doing it.
Scandalized.
Or she's doing it because
she wants
big
cleave
and like let her have that moment. They're all gay.
I was really sad that they left the cutlet there because I was like, those things aren't cheap. Like
she was so
you can be embarrassed, but I would take that cutlet.
You know what I would have done?
She seemed really drunk because she was just truly like staring off into nothingness. Like she disassociated in that moment. Dissociated.
I would have taken it and just gone.
She stared into the void.
If it was my chicken cutlet, and this is all like easier said than done, but if I had the wherewithal, I would have just taken it, bit into it, and spit it in their faces, into the guys' faces.
Yeah,
I would have gone. She should have fucking like
taken it and put it right back into my tits and push them up and said, I'll be leaving now. If I was there, I would have taken it and walked up to her and been like, may I? And then just like adjusted her boobs and lovingly place it back in her little bra and hike it
be
up
like,
and then go, get out of here. Go. You're better than this, girly. Let's go. Let's go smoke a cig.
I know. Yeah, I would have, or I wish.
People are not supportive.
No, the other women turn on her.
Yeah.
It's kill or be killed with these guys.
I'm like, give that back to me. It's my friends. Yeah,
yeah, that's my fucking friends.
That's my friends.
Bitch. To Mike and Polly.
So no one gets laid. They're scared to death of women, actually, and they realize that they can't probably have the gay sex they dream of, which is making eye contact with each other while fucking two women at the same time. So they're like, we called you a cab, and like walk them all out.
That's what they want. They're so the mad they can't... They're so mad they can't have group sex and, like, rub their legs against each other while they fuck women.
Like, they're, like, maybe they're approaching that in the hot tub where, like, Paul and Mike are, like, across from each other. So their legs are touching and, like, the girls are kind of straddling them. But then the cutlet popped out and it reminded them of, like...
Not understanding.
The fact that they have to play, like, they're straight.
Yeah, they were so enraged.
And it triggered them.
They were so mad at women in that moment. Because they all they want is to have gay sex and they can't.
Yeah. The next day, Snooki has to go work at the gelato shop with Mike. And her work clothes kill me. She's in like the dumpiest little like capri sweatpants. And she's hates being there. And she's so short, she can't even see over the counter. And she can't reach any of the ice cream. And she's just like, I hate this.
Enzo calls her at one point Nookie. He doesn't even say Snooki. He goes Nookie. Gnocchi.
Nookie.
Come here.
Try and get the ice cream. He is like keeps telling her like how to scoop it, and she's like, why? And like won't scoop
I
it right.
Like,
and I was
Enzo,
like,
Enzo, this is not. She is not here to work. She doesn't give a fuck. She's never gonna have to really work again. So like, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. She's found her true calling, which is being on a show, and she will only do something in service of the show, you're worse off having her working here and expecting her to do anything.
If I would have been like, I would hope that I'd be like, Snooki, all you have to do is just literally like sit and like just go, wah. Like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And she'd go, okay.
I'd be like, you know what? Just make nice small talk with the customers, mm-hmm. and like make them feel really welcome.
And she goes,
you can greet them when they come in and direct them to like so-and-so who will like take their order and process it. That's all I want you to do. Just give us your good vibes. I love Mike. It's a really slow day and they're working with truly just some rando woman that works at this gelato store. And they're all just kind of sitting around. And then Mike turns to this woman. And he goes, you know, if I take my shirt off, it'll probably be a situation. And she just like looks at him, like gets no response from that. And then he's like, I'm going to go take my shirt off and like stand outside, which just alienates everyone.
No one comes.
And doesn't get anyone to like come into the shop. But I love turning to someone who has no idea what you're talking about a very specific like inside baseball thing in regards to yourself, thinking that it's going to land like and do just like numbers with this person. Like they're going to, he thought she was going to be like, hell yeah.
No,
it will be. You're so hot.
Miami's a different place than Jersey. This isn't the t-shirt shop.
This is the South Beach, store. Baby. We're not in Kansas anymore.
Later in the night, Sammy and Ron are spooning in bed, and then Mike comes in. He's like, yo, we're going to go out. And Ron's like, oh, I kind of feel like staying in with you, but maybe I should go. And then Sam, her eyes, she thinks Ron's going to stay in tonight. And Sam, her eyes bug so big. And I'm like, oh my God, she is truly, her soul is being destroyed by this man.
Well, because he also came in from the club when he was so drunk and had just called her a fucking bitch and then humped on every woman that he saw. Snooki was like, you need to stop doing this. He shoves her. Yeah. And then all the guys are like, we got to get him out of here. He comes home, does like a garbled stand-up routine in front of like the boys talking about like how much puss he gets at the club. Then is like rolling on the floor, then goes and just sleeps in Sam's room. And the crazier thing is she lets him in the bed. And so she lets him in to sleep with her after he's done all this and like bragged about like essentially getting ass and like fooling her into thinking that he cares. And so then the next day they're like hungover all day, like laying in bed. And I've definitely like done this with a guy where it's like, I'm like, I want him. She wants him to just stay there, but she doesn't say that. Instead, it's like a test where it's like the girl, JWoww, and where's Angelina? She's like dead somewhere.
She's like swimming in the ocean.
The girls, Snooki and JWoww, are like, let's go on a date night tonight. Like you and me, we'll just keep it really chill. Like we'll go to dinner. And then Sammy's like, what are you guys doing? They're like, we're going to dinner. You should come. And then Ron goes, oh, yeah, you should go with the girls. And then I'll maybe go with the guys. And then she's like, okay. And then he's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And then that's when she's betrayed.
By the way, it's 12:15 a.m.
I love going out to dinner.
JWoww have a positively très chic European dinner at 1 a.m. at Tapas.
They're literally in Barcelona. They're in
Ibiza. They're in Barcelona.
They're in Portugal.
They're in the Canary Islands. They're positively sophisticated, eating tapas and having cocktails at 1 a.m. Talking about how Sammy's in trouble.
European glamour.
They're like,
yeah, Sammy just then goes back into pout mode instead of saying, which I get it, like Ron is not a safe person to vocalize your needs to because he can't meet them.
No.
But at the same time, you're trusting that someone's going to just, that this fucking meathead steroid freak is going to intuit that like you really want him to like cuddle you all night. And then when he, shocker, says that he wants to go creep on girls at the club with the boys, you get mad. And then she goes into my least favorite thing that I've also very guilty as charged of, where you just stop looking and you go full under the covers and he goes to like kiss her goodbye. And she goes, can you not? Can you not? No, like just can you not? And then like won't even get out from under the covers. And I was like, this is
hetero hell.
Never again. Never again. will I ever be in a relationship like that. I pledge to you.
Well, next.
Even Snooki is like, what's wrong? Like, what? And Sammy's like, I can't believe he's like going out. Like, that's fucking crazy. And Snooki's like, well, you told him he could. And she goes, yeah, but I didn't like mean it. And she goes, fuck you. That was a test. She was like, you didn't even say. Snooki's over it. And then she and JWoww basically
talk shit.
Decide that like Ron's a creep and they're trying to come up with like a low key way to
this is. And next week's episode is the infamous.
It's the episode.
Infamous letter writing at the computer bar at the internet cafe.
An internet cafe plays a massive role in the Jersey Shore lore.
So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Find your local internet cafe and just get ready and take it in. Maybe take some notes.
Do internet cafes even exist anymore?
I think in like the Czech Republic.
Yeah. Remember like Luca Magnotta got captured at an internet cafe?
He's so scary.
I know.
Guys.
Tickets for our show, Dynasty Typewriter.
They're going fast.
January 11th and January 18th are on sale. They're flying off the fucking shelves.
Hot, so like pancakes.
Smash the link below in the episode description and get it while the getting's good, because it ain't gonna be good for long.
And we'll see you back. We'll be back together in just a few days. So get ready for another episode.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Salty and Bev Hills.
The season of Bev Hills crawling towards
it. Slouching towards.
No doubt, sad and downtrodden, disappointing conclusion. But we'll be here for it.
Arrivederci.
Love and light. Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.